Hey, what's up, Toby? We've made it to number 21 of the Process Debt podcast. No one has asked us to stop yet that we know of. We've got no cease and desist. So that means we're not successful.
Hey, special shout out to our listener in Boise.
Oh, there's a couple.
Yeah, a couple. I understand even somebody said, you're top of mind, buddy. I'd love to buy you lunch.
I got lunch out of the podcast, so I am officially an influencer now, influencing ones of people.
I love it. It was only a matter of time, my friend. Well done.
All right, today's topic.
Yes.
Today's topic, not specifically, but layoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Or just changes in employment.
Well, if you haven't been part of it recently, you're probably only one degree of separation from somebody whose job has been threatened as budget cuts come along or has been part of some of the governmental layoffs. But
oh, yeah, crazy.
Even in the public space with all the uncertainty, people are tightening their belts. And so, this topic of layoffs today, what's crossing my mind, and we were talking just a little bit before the show, was what happens when people that have really defined and held ownership over a process are removed from the equation.
Yeah.
You know, these are the process owners. Maybe they're the conveners. Maybe they're the people that drive the chopping wood consistency that makes a good this happen. Chris, you and I both have laughed over the years about, we've had more than one or two jobs a decade.
Oh gosh.
And we've been part of leaving and part of being left.
Yeah.
What's your thought? I mean, you probably had a person or two leave and the process that they owned was left in the lurch.
Well, what's funny is like my first job out of college, this was back in, I don't know, let's go 25 years ago, just for fun.
Back in the old days.
Back in the day when most people won't remember this, but Microsoft didn't always have a ribbon. And that was a major shift. And back in the day, I was writing some code. And so actually right out of school, I eliminated my job and I don't know, it must have been 6 months. I limited my job and half of another person's job. And so this was my first layoff.
You're the original Doge.
I literally am doing nothing. Right. Then I get bored and I'm like, let's tie the production schedule to purchasing, because I was in the purchasing department. So I tie it and I'm just so bored because I'm done. I literally am done with my week's worth of tasks at like by noon on Monday. I'm just faxing out. This is how long ago it is. I basically run my report, which basically tells me all my open orders.
Yeah.
My system tells me whether I need to expedite it or not. And I fax it. I literally fax a whole bunch of these things to people. And then they send it back and they say, we can't expedite it. So then this is how I got my first layoff, right? And I don't know why my boss let me go and do this, because it took a long time for me to figure this thing out. But he was just kind of like, hey, the new kid seems to be a whiz at Excel. So I build this whole thing out. And then like by the end, I think I went through two rounds of layoffs and I was part of the third. But by the time the third rolled around, I was answering phones at the front desk because I literally had.
Weird.
But like, who knows what happened with that thing after I left?
So there's some zombie magic probably to this day.
Oh, yeah.
Still colliding production schedules and procurement activities. Oh, yeah. And everybody probably just treats it like a fragile artifact, right?
Oh, yeah. Because if it breaks, who are you going to call?
Yeah. You apparently didn't leave a forwarding address because it doesn't sound like they're tracking you down.
I was young and stupid. And I password protected it, and then they found out about it. And I was
I'll make you a deal on this password. Yeah. I'll hook you up.
No, but like, I think it's interesting, right? Like, I think what I left, they probably used for quite a while. Yeah. And then it just entropied, and then they stopped using it at some point.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's still being used. I don't know. But like, what's interesting is you got the people that leave, right? And you've got, wealths of knowledge that kind of leave and disappear.
Yeah.
And the true loss, I think you can't account for it. There's no way to account for it.
Yeah. Well, I think the accounting or the recognition, we talk a lot about, is it discoverable? Is it visible? I love those themes that you bring up a lot. And I think about it so oftentimes, it's not discoverable because somebody's still refining it.
Yeah.
Or maybe they don't have time to document it and start to mentor somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's only discoverable when they're in the room, right?
Yeah.
And therefore not transferable.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if they would have at least bought an annual license key, they could at least get an email from you about how to make that spreadsheet work. But
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty crazy. Like, and I think the same thing happens when people leave and then also when people show up, right? Like,
yeah.
I can't tell you how many times people are like, well, at my last company. And what's interesting, I think oftentimes is like most companies don't have a strong process culture. And so when someone shows up and they say in my last company, there's not this like major, like almost like coup against it where it's like, we don't do stuff that way. Like because most processes don't support people. That's, most processes are what we would call sad men work.
Full of misery and extra innings and unpaid Saturdays.
Let me go get my Crayola crayon and draw some things.
Totally. Yeah. Well, you know, you make a really interesting point because when we bring somebody on, even if internally we see ourselves a process culture, I don't know that I've ever heard somebody define what that experience would look like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, think about an organization that you've been involved with maybe recently, maybe further back in your past, but, you know, think of an organization maybe where you felt like there was a very clear process culture. And the answer could be, still waiting. But I'm curious about how would you describe that culture without naming the innocent and the guilty parties alike?
I would say that it just gets skipped.
But if they do have a process culture in place, how might you explain what it means?
Oh, yeah.
Like, culture?
I mean, if you had a process culture, it would be like, look, these are the tools. These are the reports, right? Like, I think what you would see is you would see almost like three, like you could go to three different teams and things would be done in the same way. Right. And I think the challenge, I think where people fall down here is they don't have a standard. And so they either are too standardized or too loose.
Yeah.
And so where they're like too standard and they don't create, there's no autonomy, then I think people just rebel and they're saying, I want to do it this way. Right. And then the other thing is that oftentimes you don't see a reporting structure that basically goes up a level and goes up a level and goes up a level. Right. So like if it's done correctly is as you look at a report and you scale down a layer and then you go down another layer, you would actually see processes that support it.
Yeah.
But my guess is most of the time you rip off those reports and what you find is like scaffolding and duct tape and you know, like it's just not put together.
Right.
Like, and some of that I think is because oftentimes process is driven by reporting. It's not driven by the people doing the work.
Yeah.
And so you think about the people that come in, they're like, I want to see this thing.
Right.
And so because of the thing that they want to see, they drive process, which may not actually even be accurate. Like the thing that we don't talk about with reporting is what's the precision on this thing?
Let's not make anybody too nervous. Years ago when I was in telecom, I sat in the sales organization and I had to get fortune to work with a really exceptional process-minded manager. And he had already done a good job. Several of these guys had come over from MCI.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're back before Sarbanes-Oxley and all the corporate malfeasance that killed a bunch of people. So
for our young people, what was MCI?
Back in the day when the only phone in your house was stuck to the wall, MCI was that worst person that you could pay less money to talk to somebody more than 5 miles away.
Got it. Okay. Right? That phone that was on the wall, like the invention of cell phone.
This was
brought to us the where are you at? Because you never had to ask that because you were always at home. Stuck
it was all
to some
super
line.
Easy. Are you in the living room or did you take the 40 feet of phone line into the bathroom or laundry room? But the thing that was so beautiful was when I joined this organization, we had a measure of leadership alignment where our VPs had this high trust in our reporting, and we rounded to the nearest 1,000.
Sweet.
Right? Because we're talking about, you know, million, $2 million, $5 million a month budget that
yeah.
they're supposed to be hitting with their sales targets.
Yep.
We're not going to miss by pennies,
yeah.
right? We're going to miss immateriality.
Yeah.
But a new senior executive, to your point about reporting, came in, and what he discovered was my team and I are producing very insightful reports that precede anything that will actually hit the books. We're looking out the sales funnel.
Oh.
We're doing all this management reporting, but we're rounding to the nearest 1,000.
Yes.
His finance organization was chasing their tail and trying to go out to 17 decimals, like most wanted to. They can't reconcile the ninth decimal. No, that's unfair, but you know these guys. You've
yeah,
met
yeah.
them. And so his solution was take the cowboys and stick them in finance, and then that'll make it all work better. And to a degree, you know, we took across some of our secret sauce. We
sure,
were using
sure.
We were using Excel and Visual Basic to do very
yeah.
complex automations to produce an enormous
yep.
volume of reporting, because traditionally hours go into reporting and seconds go into the analysis.
Oh, it's crazy.
But here's a case where we took a strong process culture out yep. of sales, stuffed it in finance, and then snuffed it to whatever extent it could be snuffed out.
Yep.
Right? It's such a bear. And,
yeah.
and that was probably one of those first moments where I went, hang on, good process doesn't always win. It should, but it doesn't.
Totally. And that's the new guy coming in and saying, I found value over here in the corner. Let's move the value over here. And then some ways, like, bastardize it.
Yeah. If people don't understand it clearly and they yep. can't articulate it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I think that's the sad truth of it.
For sure.
Well, we're just a smidge over 5.
Oh, we did it again.
As is often the case, I want to give a shout out to our listeners or singular household.
Perfect.
In not Montana, just a little north.
Edmonton, yeah.
Edmonton, Canada, yeah.
There you go. Saskatchewan, I believe. I think one of the provinces.
I
mean, I'm surprised that we have Canadians listening. I mean, we are the
their good judgment.
All right, man.
Or we'll just their general speaker.
We'll pick it up next week. Thanks, man.
Good deal. Have a good one.
Bye. Bye.